chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you've ever been witness to a violent rush of wind. Maybe you've been in the midst of a tornado or a hurricane or, you know, microburst or something like that. One time that I remember, we had a tornado that hit Marietta. My mother always said, Marietta's protected by the mountains. We never get tornadoes. Well, never say never. We got one in Marietta. And we had a very nice basement. And so my father came home from work and everybody prepared in the basement. And right at the last minute, I ran up the steps and stood at the living room windows to watch the tornado. Now, I wasn't a kid. I was in high school, so I should have known better. But I was watching because I was so fascinated with it. And the tornado hit, and the trees in our front yard started slapping the ground on either side. They weren't breaking. They were just like rubber, and they were hitting the ground on either side. And all the windows were creaking, and the doors were creaking. And my mother was screaming at me from down in the basement, telling me to come back down. And I was like, "Just a minute, I'll be right there." Luckily, our house wasn't damaged, or I would have been killed or something. But the sound of the wind, the sound of it, not just the visual of what I was seeing, but the sound of the wind was amazing. It was, people say it sounds like a locomotive or something. I guess it was just so loud and so amazing, and the power that I was seeing there and what it was doing was just absolutely amazing. I would never suggest that anybody watch a tornado or be a storm chaser or anything like that, because it's a very good way to get killed because of the violent wind. And yet, that's how Acts describes to us the day of Pentecost, the day when God gave his Holy Spirit, the day that God sent his Holy Spirit, this day of Pentecost that we celebrate today as the part of the life of the body of the church. We celebrate the fact that God sent his Holy Spirit and that we have the Holy Spirit right here with us right now. And I think it's amazing because the sound of that rush of violent wind was within the house where they were. It wasn't on the outside. They weren't observers. It came right where they were, within that house. And then they began to speak. And then they knew that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we continue to live within that legacy this day and every day. The legacy of what the Holy Spirit does for us, the legacy of what the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit guides us as a church in having a vision for what we are to do. The many prayers have been said over this vision and how it is to help us to be directed, but with also the knowledge that God's Holy Spirit is guiding us into tomorrow. God's Holy Spirit is always there to be with us so that we know the direction we're going is not only inspired by the Holy Spirit, but filled with the Holy Spirit as well. And so we know that we can walk boldly exactly where God would have us to go and the ministries that God would have us to participate in each and every day. The scripture here, especially the passage from Joel, is so filled with the description, powerful description of exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He starts it in verse 17. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And this, in this amazing description of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit by the prophet Joel, he understands this. He is writing these words, and here the writer of Acts is repeating these words for us. And this statement that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh is repeated in this passage. That's how important it is. Remember, anything that a passage repeats like that means watch it, pay attention to it. It's very important. Pour out my Holy Spirit upon all flesh. That God's Spirit is there. God's Spirit is present. God's Spirit is present with each and every person. Whether or not we acknowledge God's Spirit, whether or not we acknowledge Christ as our Savior, whether or not we acknowledge the fact that we're guided by the Spirit, God's presence is there. That is what God has done for all of humanity through the death of Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John Wesley called it prevenient grace, that we have the ability, everyone, to choose between good and evil. We have that ability. We cannot say we're trapped in the evil, that God's grace, God's Spirit, God's loyal love is there for everyone to choose which way they will go. And so the Spirit has been poured out upon every person. And he continues and says, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Our sons and daughters. To prophesy is not just to see into tomorrow and say this is going to happen. It is also to speak the Word of God, to be a prophetic voice of the Word of God and what God's Word means and how God's Word is applied to our lives and to the lives of all people within the world. And I think it's very significant that he mentions the sons and daughters shall also continue to speak the Word of God. They shall prophesy the Word of God. They shall apply the Word of God to their time as well. So it's a continuation, a statement about the future, a statement about the fact this shall also continue because of the power of God's Holy Spirit upon them and upon us. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Dreams and visions. We're not talking about hallucinations, and we're not talking about nightmares. We're talking about visions of where to go and where tomorrow will bring and how the faith impacts tomorrow. And dream dreams. I think it's very significant that he says the old men shall dream dreams. The old men shall have the ability to understand and to know what indeed can happen. And the old men can be a part of that, which I'm very glad to hear about. So the old men can be a part of that as well, dreaming dreams about everything that God is going to accomplish, that God is going to do. Dreams, your highest expectation. What do you think? Well, that's just a dream. And God says, through my Holy Spirit, you will dream dreams, which implies the fact that those dreams can indeed become a reality. The young men's vision, the old men's dreams, all of those things can become realities as well, because Why would the Holy Spirit give us a vision and give us a dream if it wasn't to be? It wasn't to be through God's power, through God's grace, and through the limitless presence and strength of the Holy Spirit. Even upon my slaves, both women and men, in those days I will pour out my spirit. It's interesting that he would mention the slaves, not just servants, but the slaves as well, saying, this is upon everyone. This is what I will do. Here is where he repeats that again. I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit upon all people, even those that you might think, oh, they don't understand. They don't deserve. They're not a part of receiving the blessing of God's spirit, the blessing of God's presence, the presence of our resurrected and ascended Christ, that they somehow should be or are excluded from that. The prophet is very clear to say, this is what God says. Even upon the least of these, I will pour out my spirit. My presence will be there for them, just as my presence is for all people, in case there was ever a doubt, in case there was ever a wonder, in case there was ever a concern. This is universal to all people, so that all people might understand the presence of God, so that all people might have the ability to choose Christ and to choose life and to choose life everlasting through what the Spirit does as well. And then he says, and they shall prophesy. They shall prophesy. Once again, they shall speak the word of God. They shall live out the word of God. That is indeed the hope that we have, that all the world might be saved, that everyone come to know Jesus Christ, that everyone understands life and life everlasting in Christ, which begins now and will continue throughout eternity, that everyone is a part of the building of the kingdom here and now, and the kingdom that will be when Christ returns, and so that everyone shall be able to speak the word of God through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. And he says in verse 19, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious days. We hear that word, those words, portents and signs. And then we hear what he's saying, blood and fire and smoky mist. And you start going, oh, portents and signs of the end of times. It's sort of a frightening image, a frightening idea. Portents generally means omens or warnings of dire happenings. Signs and warnings are omens of things that are to come. You hear about blood and fire and smoky mist, and you think, well, we hear about that each and every day. I doubt if there's ever been a time in the life of humanity when we haven't been able to understand blood and fire and smoky mist and the moon to blood and the darkness of the sun as well, the darkness of the days. The fact that the night is not of comfort to us either. And so we begin to look at that and go, okay, so that's a part of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and that's a scary time as well. But then there's also another meaning to that word, portents. Portents can also mean something that is wondrous, something that is unusually wondrous and amazing, something that is out of the ordinary, something that is extraordinarily good, something that is amazing. And I think that's what the writer Joel is stating for us here. I think it's what is a part of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, that we will see signs of the fact that Christ is indeed in our world, signs of the working of the Holy Spirit. And we will see portents, signs of glory yet to come, signs of extraordinary things yet to come because of the building of the kingdom, because through the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the day of Pentecost, we are able to make a difference in our world. We are able to make an impact in great and glorious days. And then he ends it by saying, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is our goal as a church, that everyone will call upon the name of the Lord and therefore be saved through the working of the Holy Spirit. So I believe this passage is not just a record of the day of Pentecost. It's not just a reexamination of the prophecy of Joel and what the Holy Spirit will accomplish. It's not just a time for us to be motivated to be indeed working with the Holy Spirit, but it's also a time for us to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, am I a part of that wind of change, that rush of violent wind, not just a gentle breeze, not just a calmness of the air, but a rush of violent wind to change, to make a difference in the world, to bring our world into tomorrow through the glory of God, through the power of God, and through the presence of our risen Savior through the Holy Spirit. Let us pray.